start things off. We're going to be tackling a thought that's out there, or a belief that is within the book of Revelation, that many people, they pick out this one word, couple words, and they kind of take it too literally, or they just hash at this word. In Revelation chapter 22, the last book, there lies a warning that starts in verse 18. So if you want, you can start turning there. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, and it reads, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book." This is without a doubt one of the most impactful sections of Scripture throughout the whole Bible. Those words are, wow, you don't mess with God's word. Otherwise, the outcome doesn't sound too promising or pleasant. Definitely strikes the fear of God within you. Yet many out there think that what is being said here, when the words "this book" are used, they believe that that only applies, the prophecies in this book, that it only applies to the book of Revelation, and that's it. If you try to say, well, that book is the Bible, not just Revelation, many people think just the opposite. They think that it only applies to Revelation. What do we think? I know personally some people who truly believe this is the solid truth, that that book that they're talking about in Revelation only applies to Revelation. Even I got into almost an argument with someone over the matter, an old coworker. He truly believed it to be so. So what are your thoughts? Well, we're going to take a look at it and see what God the Father and Jesus Christ are talking about here in Revelation using their word. So what is the answer right off the back? That book that they're talking about, the prophecies from this book, you can't add or take away. Is that only Revelation? No. No. It can't be either. And we're going to have to go over some proof, though, because you say that, they want evidence. They won't believe you. Many people will argue with you. No, that's only talking about Revelation. You could add or take away from other stuff, but just that warning there in Revelation, that's only talking about Revelation. So we're gonna go over some scriptures and compare and contrast on what's being said here. So be ready to flip your Bibles a lot. Just a little warning. All right. So we'll start out by let's start with some Scripture in Revelation chapter 6, if you'll turn there. Revelation chapter 6, and we'll read, start in verse 12. "I looked when he, being Jesus Christ, opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as fig trees drop in its late figs when it is shaken by the mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and every island moved out of its place. I'm sure many of us heard such scriptures like this during the fall holy days, Feast of Trumpets, maybe a little bit of Day of Atonement, and even at the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's jump over, though, to chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to read a couple more here in Revelation. Chapter 8, verse 1, and we'll read all the way to verse 6. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. We just went over this, right? Feast trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he would offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So a little bit of similarity, right, between those two verses we just read in chapter 6 and chapter 8. And we'll just go over one more little section here in Revelation, chapter 16, verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. So all these prophecies we just read, of course, these are some of the gloomy ones in Revelation. But notice, if we will turn to Joel chapter 2, you're going to notice a little bit of similarity. Joel chapter 2, right after Hosea and before Amos. Joel chapter 2, and we'll read verse 10 and 11. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it, right? Isn't that what we just read? And then verse 11, the Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for the strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? So that sounds very similar, almost dead on with what we just read in Revelation, does it not? We'll go over another one that sounds very similar to this as well, from the words of Christ himself. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So all those, they all kind of blend together, don't they? Sound very similar. It's hard to argue against that, right? And we're going to do some more comparisons, comparing Revelation to other scriptures. And there's a point behind this. You may already be starting to grasp what that point is, but I'm going to reveal that after. So, Now, let's flip the coin. Now let's turn to some more pleasant-sounding prophecies from Revelation. So if you will, turn to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And of course, this one we definitely covered during the Feast of Tabernacles. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And we'll read to verse 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. Who's they? That's us, the chosen of God, the saints. And judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who is a part in the first, or has his part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with them 1,000 years. Those are some beautiful words we heard during the Feast of Tabernacles. Being right by side by side with Christ and being able to live 1,000 years too, that's incredible. Hard to picture, isn't it? But we're going to compare that to another scripture. So turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, we'll read. Daniel chapter 12, and we'll start right in verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And this is God talking to Daniel, and the sons of your people being Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was seen. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found and written in the book. What book is that? This verse, of course, is talking about the Book of Life that we just read in Revelation chapter 22. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That sounds kind of similar too, doesn't it, with what we just read in Revelation. The resurrection. And it says right here, also, those who sleep shall awake. That's in reference to resurrection. And of course, we could also turn to another scripture that compares to this and the one in Revelation chapter 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, better known as the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And, we'll read verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, again, talking about that resurrection we just read in Daniel, some will be awakened to everlasting life. All three of those, they blend together. Are you starting to see the point yet? We'll do a couple more, and then we'll give the reason why we're doing all these comparison scriptures. If you haven't gotten it already. So Revelation chapter 21, let's all turn there. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22 we'll read. Revelation chapter 21 verse 22. But I saw no temple in it. And of course this is after the kingdom of God. This is during the time of the new heavens and new earth. But I saw no temple in them, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor to or into it. And yeah, we'll read all the way to verse 27. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means... Oh, wait. But there shall... by no means enter in or enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's that Book of Life again. All right, now we'll compare this. We're going to go back to Daniel again, actually. I'm kind of partial to Daniel. It's got to be one of my favorite prophets. I don't know. Just something about him. Daniel chapter 7 we'll turn to. And verse 9 we'll start. And we'll read to verse 10. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. Who's the Ancient of Days? We find out through reading that this is talking about God the Father. His garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued, and it came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Now, same chapter, just jump down to verse 13. And I watched in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. That's, of course, Jesus Christ. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought near him before him. And then to him was given dominion and the glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him in dominion, in an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. That's going to be an incredible time. No nation that's lived throughout history has ever been everlasting. They all eventually fall, but this one will not. And now one more comparison, and of course this refers to the eighth day. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 13, it reads, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it. from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was not, or there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Oh, and also verse 13. This is a great scripture also to read. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. So the sea gave up the dead too. So those people where you don't know where their bodies are, God knows where they are, and he'll raise those people up too. And now, you could turn there if you would like. I'm not going to read the whole section, but it's Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. I'm just going to kind of summarize it. But of course, this is talking about the second resurrection after the thousand-year reign with Jesus Christ and those who are part of the first resurrection. And you go through and you read Daniel 37, you could see that the bones start rattling together and forming. Sinews and flesh start forming on these bones, and then God breathes in the breath of life, and they are resurrected. Can you imagine that? That's a remarkable scene. This is talking about the second resurrection. And there you have it. There are all the comparisons that I have time for today. There is many more I could go over, but due to time, we will just stop right there for the comparisons. So now, what was the point to all those comparison scriptures? Why did we compare scriptures? Well, if you didn't get it, or if you did, I'm going to explain anyways. Those comparison scriptures, of course, as you saw, they're all the same prophecies. You cannot argue against that. They're all the same. They're all interlinked. So, but since they're all the same, you cannot say that it's okay to add or take away from one of those other books and take away those prophecies or add to them, and then say, well, but Revelation you can't. But those other books, yeah, you could alter what God's saying. Well, of course, first off, that's just illogical thinking, and the thought of even tampering with God's word, that's a scary thing. You don't want to do that. God's word, what it says is what it says. And we don't want to change, add, take away to what it says at all. And by anybody, also another little point to this too is, that'd also be like saying, so all those other scriptures we read that were written by Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Matthew, Paul, and many others that I didn't even have time to cover today. That would be saying like, well, those books don't matter. Those prophecies are all, they can't be right. But Revelation, that warning in there, can't take away from that book. What kind of sense does that make? Doesn't make much sense, does it? And also, by doing that, that would be disrespecting the ones who inspired these words of truth, God the Father and Jesus Christ. In fact, one of them, of course, we read today in Matthew 24, one of them was from the actual words of Christ Jesus. So you're saying the words that Jesus predicted, the prophecy he said, could be altered or changed, but not Revelation? Good luck telling Jesus that. I would not want to do that. So the matter of the fact is, all these scriptures, they are all part of that same book that we call today the Bible. And lastly, one more little thing, just to touch up on with this this idea that people think that that book in Revelation is not talking about the Bible, which it is. We clearly see that. People will say the Bible did not even exist though when John wrote that. So you can't say that that was the Bible. It didn't exist then, so it's still Revelation. Well, reply to that is, by the time John wrote Revelation, all four Gospels have been written, and almost every epistle had been written as well. And they were all being circulated throughout the congregations, and even being hand-copied. And also, the Godhead that we worship, God the Father and Jesus Christ, we know that they're all-knowing, omniscient. I just have two more scriptures. I know, you thought the scriptures were done, didn't you? Psalms 147, verses 4 through 5, we could read this and it shows just proof that God is all-knowing. You could clearly pick that up from this. Psalms 147, verse 4 and 5. He counts the numbers of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. And another one that's also just as well said is 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. And that reads, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." Knows all things, all-knowing, omniscient. So knowing this, God being all-knowing, wouldn't you think God would have already known that His inspired words of truth would have been put together in one book later in life, which we now have in our hands? I think yes. He already knew this was going to be one big book. All of His words, His scripture. So we got to also have faith too when we read that. God knew all of His words would be composed into one book when John wrote that. John may not have known that at the time, but God did. So that being said, we now have our proof and can draw a conclusion that the prophecies in this book within Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, are not secluded to Revelation only. And we want to respect God's warning that He gave us. Let's treat it right, and God will treat us right as well.